Warning, this is the Freedom Fiends midweek non-radio podcast. Unlike our weekend live talk radio shows, where we adhere to all regulations and community standards, this cast may contain cussing and or prurient subject matter. If you are easily offended, please leave now. But tune in Saturdays and Sundays to our live talk radio show. If you're not easily offended, prepare to be entertained, informed, and enlightened.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. We're working very hard to spend your tax money to keep you from hearing things like freedomfiends.com.
Yes. 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 Crunch. He's crunching. I'm recording. I'm going to record. I'm going to record you crunching.
Don't record me crunching.
Oh, come on, man. Hungry daddies have to eat. Otherwise, you can't breastfeed your baby. I was watching Peep Show, and there's the main character, Mark, is a single dad and sharing custody with the mother, and she's really pricky to him. And he's like, well, I guess after Jeremy moves out, I will just eventually live alone with my son, Ian, and then until I die of happiness. And then 2 days later, the police will kick down the door and find Ian nursing on my cold breast. Did you hear that? Probably better that you didn't. I'm going to stop recording because you're crunching. I told a story about babies nursing on dead father's breasts. You missed it. That's the kind of humor I like. That's from a TV show called Peep Show.
Is that an actual thing?
He said when his wife left him, he's like, well, I guess I've got custody. I'll just take care of my baby Ian until I die of loneliness and the police kick down my door 2 weeks later and find Ian nursing on my dead breast or my cold breast.
Gross.
I know.
Yeah, the dead part.
Man, I love Peep Show.
The part isn't so gross.
Peep Show is pretty cool. Has your baby tried your breast?
I'd breastfeed if I could. Oh, yeah. Barely? Well, it's a reflex. Yeah, babies have a nursing reflex. So whenever she's up against the chest, she's doing it right now. She'll bang her head against it and like move her mouth around side to side looking for a nipple. And if she's hungry and I'm holding her, like she's, you know, straight up and down my chest, she'll slowly work her way sideways, like towards my boob.
Yes. Yes. I'm writing. I'm barely listening. I'm writing tech. Aww. I'll just shut up. Let her talk.
It's the Freedom Fiends happy hour. Michael was talking, honey. It's not polite to interrupt.
She can talk. I was saying how I got nothing to say because I'm sitting here writing tech manuals for this new secret software program that me and my friend Jeremy are releasing next week that's going to change the world and keep the government from being able to get into your shit and take your website.
Yeah.
They'll probably drum really good this weekend, though, for saying that.
I was looking for music. I'm doing a high school prom. I'm DJing a high school prom, so I'm totally stoked about that because I figure it'll be a lot more fun than a wedding because it's all a bunch of young hip kids. And this isn't just like any high school prom. It's at the top of the Chase Bank Tower. It's called the Headliners Club. It's all like the rich kids.
It's the future Republic. It's the future New World Order people.
Yeah. Skull and crossbones. So it'll be fun. They probably have good taste in music.
Well, I don't know about that. They can afford. They pay a Negro to live with them and tell them what to listen to.
Yeah. Well, it should be good times. But I was looking for some new hip music, and one of the places I used to go to, because I was just trying to exhaust all the sources I could think of to find like new things that maybe nobody's heard yet, you know, other than Billboard Top 40 kind of stuff. And there's a site I used to go to back when I first started DJing called Rap Godfathers. And I go there and I get this takedown notice, like the infamous thing with the three goon logos that says this site has been taken down due to IP copyright restrictions or whatever kind of gay crap. And then I was like, oh, man, that sucks. And then like 5 seconds after it was open, you know, I was like, OK, well, I was thinking about what I was going to do next. And I probably wrote something down. And then all of a sudden it hijacks.
Don't copy that floppy.
My screen. Yes, and it starts playing this awful PSA. It was like the Neo don't copy that floppy with like slicker editing and a whole different spiel. And it's this lady and she like walks up there on like some foreign street. It's this like interracial couple or something. And she walks up to this guy with a Russian accent, this big, fat, hairy, gray-haired, Russian sleazeball-looking kind of guy. And she's like, oh, this is pretty. Is this real? And she like picks up a DVD or something and goes, best quality. And she goes, oh, so it's not real? And he's like, only a few dollars.
Oh, I know. It was so, I mean, if that was, and to be clear, when I said they hire a Negro to tell them what to listen to, I was speaking as what they probably think. Like, yes. Or,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The young Republicans would think. But that's pretty much racist. That's basically saying all Russians are criminals.
Are sleazeballs on the side of the road who are selling you fake DVDs or something.
Well, that's pretty much what, I mean, what do Russians do now that there's no Soviet Union? They sell AKs to us, they work as prostitutes, and they sell bootleg DVDs.
And they're cool
DVDs.
Rock bands like Luna.
Yeah.
And and Pussy Riot.
And they get a lot of work acting on TV on CSI type shows playing the Russian bad guy.
Okay.
And a lot
of
movies have the Russian bad guy. Yeah, you know what it is?
Maybe I should be the Middle Eastern bad guy. I've been missing my opportunity this whole time.
Or they're they're also the bad guys. Aren't all the characters Russian in that automobile game you like?
Grand Theft Auto 4, yeah, it was about Eastern European or Russian.
In all of them, aren't there some Russian, vaguely Slavic people, Russian people?
Sometimes, but they do that with, like, the Asians, too. Like, there's always the Triads or the Koreans or the Vietnamese or, you know, they like to play up on the big ethnic gang.
You know what I think part
sometimes.
Of that is? Part of it is they don't want to make fun of black people and they need
a new
villain.
No, they make
fun
of black people, too.
Okay.
They do that, too.
I think part of it is there's still a cultural residual, like absolute abject fear to the Russians and the Japanese from World War II and from the Cold War. But even like none of the people playing that game even remember the Cold War, but their parents do and they've like vibed it into their head, you know?
Yeah. Well, in the gaming industry, I don't think you find any anti-Japanese stuff just because Japan is like the mecca of gaming.
Because that's where they make them. Yeah. And they... Oh, you know, I was trying to – the name Satoshi, like Satoshi, whatever his last name is, what is it, Nakamoto, whatever his last name is, the guy that invented Bitcoin, there's a gamer with that last name and his first name means like having wise ancestors, the made-up name he used. And he has a billion Bitcoin – or a million Bitcoin. Did you know that? He's a billionaire sitting there somewhere anonymously.
Oh, and he's got a million Bitcoin, not $1 million in
no,
Bitcoin.
No, but that's about
Bitcoin.
$1 billion. Yeah, and the last name he used in there was the name of the towers in that Bruce Willis movie in, what is it, Die Hard. You know, where they heist a bunch of money from the rich people in that tower. I think that's intentional.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I didn't know that. Yeah. That's kind of cool.
Nakamoto. Is that it?
Nakamoto. Is that it?
I don't know. Towers? Let's look it up. I'm sounding retarded, man. I'm sounding fucking retarded. And that's Obama's job. So this this is our State of the Empire speech. Is that what we're calling it, or State of the State?
State of the Empire, I like. You know, I like to point out that it's an empire. States can – if you're not an anarcho-capitalist, state just sounds kind of benign. I think empire always sounds evil.
But it also sounds cool because it's in the Star Wars movie, but the Star Wars Empire Strikes Back, they're the bad guys.
They're the villains. Yeah they're the bad guys. That's why it sounds sinister.
They're basically based on the Nazis.
That's why Alex Jones plays the theme song for the Death Star.
I know. It's
the
funny. It's funny. Yeah. Satoshi Nakamoto. Nakamoto Towers is where Die Hard takes place. And I think Nakamoto, the CEO of it's in it at the beginning. There's a Japanese businessman visiting his towers. And, you know, it's a bunch of, like, rich capitalists, corporatists, and the whole plot is some weird Eastern European and English people trying to steal all the bearer bonds from them. So that's what Bitcoin is for.
Bitcoin is German, the bad guys in Die Hard?
I hear your baby. In a lot of those movies, the bad guys are like an international consortium, you know, like they pick the best and brightest villains. The main guy is played by Jeremy Irons, right? And he's English. And his character's English.
It's been so long since I've seen Die Hard, and I probably saw it on TV with no cussing or something like that. So
yeah. Oh, man.
You're asking the wrong
fuck
guy.
That.
Yeah, fuck that. Fuck that. It's a family show, huh, Lily?
Yeah.
Well, she's asleep.
I'll do the cussing. She can't hear it. So, we were talking about Hellfire missiles. We talked for like an hour on your drive home. So we talked about
We should have been recording it. It should have been a cast.
I know. I know. You'd have to soundproof your car more.
I was like, did you listen to the thing? Because we were going to call it State of the Empire or whatever. And I was like, did you listen to the damn thing? And you're like, nah, fuck that guy.
I know. You wanted me to listen to Obama. And you said you were put it on your pod and you were going to listen to it at work. And I'm like, I'd rather fucking learn Cantonese or Spanish at work, man. You want to listen to tyrants? Man, fuck that.
Yeah, you said you might as well download recordings of Joseph Stalin and Hitler.
Of like the great actors of BBC recite the collected works of Genghis Khan, volumes 1 through 40.
Right. Yeah. Well, I say I put it on my pod because I felt some sort of compulsion.
I wouldn't even put it on my
pod. Listen to
man.
What? Well, what? I just want to know what kind of BS people buy. I mean, why is it still such an event at this point? I mean, you go – I went to the taco stand this morning and there's the newspaper rack or whatever. And every publication has Barack Obama on the cover and a quote in big block letters right next to it, like, you know, the giant text quote of some just utter bullshit that makes no sense. Just some glittering generality that means nothing. As if it meant something, they have that on there on the front page of the newspaper.
I have the answer.
Why do they still do that? What's the answer?
The answer is for the same reason that the people in Luna from Russia said that there are still old people in Russia who pine for the USSR because they like the order and the pageantry. Do you think when Libpair arrives, do you think there would still be like a small group of Americanists that have no power but get together to like celebrate and have July 4th barbecues? And you know, like they'll go into a store and say like, do you have July 4th barbecue stuff? And they'll be like, I don't know what that is. We got some meat over there. And you know, like local,
I think it'll be like that for the first 150 years
local,
or something.
The local children in their neighborhood will come and like stand on the sidewalk in front of their house and point at them and laugh. Like, you know, like you probably would if you had, like kids might if they had like, I don't know, like some 90, like 108 year old neighbor who, you know, still like celebrated the Kaiser's birthday or something.
Yeah, I think it'll go like that for a little while. And then I think you'll have like American fairs that are kind of like the Renaissance fairs of now.
There you go. You know, I like that.
You'll have that for a little while. And yeah, people will wear jeggings and sing and those Kanye West glasses and talk about how we can. Yes, we can.
what are
and
jeggings?
Then eventually. They're leggings that look like jeans.
Oh, jeggings.
I love the concept. Yeah, jeggings. Anyway.
You could probably
– eventually, I think the holidays will just switch over and we'll just incorporate them into like, Libpair. People will. Kind of like how the Christian holidays are just like the festivals of you know, whatever pagan holidays there were. So,
well, let's see what else happened on July 4th that we could make that into. July 4th. I'm sure something cool happened on that day. Like, you know, Victoria Day in Canada is my birthday. It could just become Michael Dean Day.
What's
listen
Victoria
to this,
Day?
Listen to this wind. That's outside my window. You hear it?
I just hear some loafing. Oh, there you go. Now I hear it. Wow.
That's the wind. It's been outrageous today.
That sounds like a really good swamp cooler. It makes me want to go to sleep.
Yes.
Do you guys have swamp coolers in Wyoming?
Slavery was abolished in New York State on July 4th in 1827. It could be that. Let me find something better. Lewis Carroll wrote published Alice in Wonderland. That'd be a good thing to celebrate on July 4th. Let's see. Massive heat waves struck direct United States.
I don't think we have to pin it to an event.
Yeah,
it can just be like we could just call it Liberty Day, and we won't know what it is.
Nah,
or maybe
I don't think so, because then it would encourage the Americanists. Neil Simon, Neil Simon is a decent playwright and screenwriter. It could be Neil Simon Day. It could be whatever you want it to be day. Because there wouldn't be a central scrutinizer to make everyone want to celebrate it.
Futurama, they have Freedom Day.
If you wanted
do whatever you want day.
If you wanted to make everyone like get lots more people to celebrate the day as a certain day, you'd have an Indiegogo campaign. You know, if my thing that I'm coming out with my friend Jeremy next week doesn't raise the $50,000 we're going to try to raise, I want to move to a different planet, because this is like. It's not as important as Bitcoin, but it's almost as important as Bitcoin as far as how much it helps society. It gets domain registrations out of the use of the government, and you can't take them down. I saw a thing on Indiegogo the other day that raised $80,000 to start a company, a for-profit company that the people donating aren't going to get any share of, to sell a device that keeps your headphone cable from getting tangled.
I could actually use one of those.
I could,
that's
too.
That's not a bad idea.
I could, too, but it's not as important as keeping the government off your internet.
Right.
And it's weird, and, like, we're not making money on it. It's, like, it's weird when people fund something that's not life-changing, like, you know, a woman raped women's shelter or something, you know, when it's just a device. When people
that's
fund...
That's not life-changing?
The rape...
It's
the
life-changing
rape shelter.
To raped women who are
no,
getting
I'm
help,
saying
right?
That is... That is.
Okay.
Thank you for clarifying. Gotcha. I didn't want anyone to think that. No, like, you know, a battered women's shelter or a Save the Puppy shelter or, you know, cure a disease or something that or you know, spread Bitcoin to school kids or something that really changes the world. It's bizarre to me when people crowdfund stuff that's a commercial venture that they're not going to see. I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm just like, really? Like, someone raised
$80,000? I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good trend because I think there are people out there who have ideas and they want to be entrepreneurs, and so many people get stuck with this, well, I don't know, I don't have any money, and then somebody tells them, hey, you don't need money. That's the whole point of getting investors. And they're like, oh, I can get investors, but then they don't know anybody. So I think this concept of crowdsourcing and getting investors from elsewhere to do it, you know, or little tiny micro investors.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
It is a great idea, but, you know, it's some of the dumb shit that gets fully funded on Indiegogo. If my thing doesn't get fully funded, I'm moving to another planet. You know how people always say
it's not so important. It's not just that you must succeed, but others must fail.
Right, right. No, I mean if
the Gore Vidal.
No, it's that this thing must succeed.
Yeah, I know. I'm just razzing you.
It's the Gore Vidal. I'm in the mode of promoting this already. Yes. I can't say the name of it yet.
It must succeed. It will succeed.
You know how
I think
people
it'll be good.
You know,
it'll
thank you. You know how people say, like, if Bush or Obama, you know, get reelected, I'm moving to Canada. And then they never do. If this doesn't get fully funded, I'm moving to another planet.
Which planet? Have you decided yet?
I don't know. I'll have to start a Indiegogo campaign to raise money for it.
Mm-hmm. You're a tweeter. What's TCOT and TLCOT? Those things that when people hashtag them?
I don't know.
TCOT? You don't know? Okay. I haven't figured out all of the different acronyms for hashtags yet. I only say that because I'm looking at Cody Wilson's live tweet of... Cody Wilson's not you.
No, ew, it stands for top conservatives on Twitter.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah.
Awful. Okay.
But they probably...
So I guess TLOT would then be top liberals on Twitter?
They probably...
Or libertarians.
I don't know. I'm losing Twitter followers because I keep posting too many cat pictures and not everyone wants to see it.
Who doesn't want to see... I never see your cat pictures.
I posted like 5 today, man. The internet was getting slow. I had to post them. So we... You were saying, well, we should analyze Obama's speech. And I'm like, fuck that guy. Fuck it. Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Was my response.
Well, one of the things I'm going to teach Lily is that when it comes to cussing, it's not good to do it in certain audiences. You don't want to cuss. And also that, you know, it's great to do it if you feel good and you're in the right company. But sometimes there's better ways of saying things. And Cody Wilson actually put your exact statement. This is his more precise paraphrasing of it, of the State of the Union address. He says, slogans and signals assembled by a great unconscious machine logic uttered by a grocery store clerk on Xanax.
Say the first part again before the clerk.
Yes. Slogans and signals assembled by a great unconscious machine logic uttered by a grocery store clerk on Xanax.
That's pretty funny.
That was his take. And that's all I need to know, I guess, because that's all I knew it was. I just don't know why everybody else doesn't just write it off like that. You know, people actually pay attention to it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess we addressed that. You wanted to address – anything in particular about him? I don't know. I guess the main thing is, I didn't even watch it, but I've heard that he basically said, I'm tired of Congress getting in my way. I'm going to write shit down on paper and just start passing shit, which somebody prompted to post a picture of him with his caption, I used to be a constitutional attorney. And under it, somebody wrote, well, you must have sucked at it.
Yeah, that's pretty great. Mm-hmm. No, I don't know. I just – whatever filtered through various news feeds is all I really paid attention to of it. I heard some talk of a minimum wage hike to like $10, 10 cents an hour.
Oh, I have something to say about that that's in my notes. It's a company that just went public that makes machines to replace those people.
The minimum wage workers?
Yeah.
Aren't there lots of companies that make machines to replace minimum wage workers?
This one actually kind of addresses it.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. All right. Well, do tell.
Well, I'm looking for it. It's in the notes. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to say that the people who are a bit above minimum wage, they can expect not to get raises or to get pay cuts to pay for the other more marginal workers that they're going to have to now pay $10 and 10 cents an hour.
Yeah.
I don't think it goes through, though. I don't know. Maybe that's the scary thing is Barack Obama saying he's just going to write it in.
States will just do it, yeah.
Well, states already have. Didn't they raise it to like $15, $16 in some parts of Washington state? I guess cities have done it, not states. But.
Well, you know, a conspiracy theorist who believes in a new world order of like 85 people who sit around and drink owl's blood and infant's blood and have stem cell smoothies and decide the whole master plan would probably – have a lot to say about that minimum wage thing. And one would be, you know, it basically would kill American jobs and just move everything that can be done except in person offshore. And, you know, the people who the 85 people who run the world probably own a lot of things globally and want that to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they'll liberate the hell out of Afghanistan and then put in textile factories to make what do you call them? Jeggings. Jeggings. Yeah.
Jeggings. Yes. Yes.
To sell to the $15 an hour minimum wage workers that still have jobs in America.
Yeah. Yeah. So you sent me Momentum Machines. Is this website a joke or they actually have real products?
It's real.
Because they the front page seems like they're intentionally taking digs at the left.
Okay, I want to while you read this, I'm going to confirm they're real because I got janked the other day because I forwarded to you and DJ. I fortunately didn't post it, but it was an article that said, and I wanted to address this briefly. It was an article that said, father jailed for paying too much child support. And basically, that's what the article says. But then if you go and watch the news, the video that's linked in the article, that's not the story. It's like he was jailed for not paying child support and then trying to sneakily go and pay too much and think no one would notice. Now, that's not something you should jail people for. And how is the guy, you know, even in a status sense, how is that guy going to pay child support in jail? But it's not what the fucking headline some blog put on it. Some like, you know, the police are terrible. I want to encourage people to not just forward things based on – I know everyone's busy, but it's like don't just forward shit based on the headline because then it ends up like everyone who's into liberty thinks that everything is tyranny, even things that aren't as tyrannical as they sound like. Mm-hmm. Don't get spoofed.
It definitely hurts people's credibility, and that's sad. And the other thing about the headline was it like had a causation that wasn't there. Like the guy actually did overpay his child support eventually, but that's not why the judge threw him in jail, apparently. Apparently it was because he hadn't paid it in the right manner at the beginning, which really it's statism and it's bullshit anyway that the guy's in jail. But it was the because in the sentence, in the headline, the causation that wasn't really there.
Okay, read the thing that you said is making fun of the left on this robo restaurant machine site.
Ah, yes. This is MomentumMachines.com. The next generation of fast food. Our technology will democratize access to high quality food, making it available to the masses. That's why I thought, is this real? It sounds kind of like they're baiting lefties here. But maybe it is. I mean, apparently it's supposed to be a machine that does the food prep for you. And they've got some bullet points here on their website. Our technology provides the means for the next generation of restaurant design and operation. And here are some of the bullet points. The staff is relaxed because there is a robot doing the hard
work.
The
staff doesn't have a job. But and there's nothing wrong with this. This is I have nothing wrong with something.
No, I mean
saves
labor.
You
have to hire less staff, right? I mean, at Walmart, when you have the self-checkout, you've got one cashier sort of making sure everything goes smoothly. You've got like eight robots doing work, and then one human, sort of the supervisor.
Who will eventually be replaced with one RoboCop. Oh, did you like RoboCop. My button design for Michael Dean After Dark?
Yes.
I kind of look like RoboCop after they take the back of his head off.
What strange mammal is that that's hijacked
It's a hamster,
man.
It's a hamster. It's the hamster in your brain. That's in my promo. It says, and if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up at night, please call in. And I said it like, please call in. Yeah. Yes. I got to pee. You keep reading this and then read the thing I sent you. I'll be right back.
Yeah, so more of these bullet points. The cost is lower than any competing restaurant because of reduced staffing in real estate. Although I guess that would not be true in the future if other people competed with you with the same momentum machine. Reduced real estate needs. Yeah, that makes sense. You'd have a smaller area because you don't have to have a massive staff. And apparently it's sort of a small area. You keep the whole machine in that sort of does all the work to put the burger together. Wait times are as small as possible because of the massive throughput of our machine. I don't know. They'd have to kind of back that claim up before I'd buy it. I guess the thing with it is more power to them, man. If people want to buy this and that's what it's going to come to because of minimum wage, I think that's fine. I think it's great to watch
the market react to the tyranny. Maybe Obama or his friends are shareholders in this.
maybe. Yeah. It would not surprise me if they hedge their bets like that.
If this is a joke, it spoofed a lot of people. Vice magazine wrote about it. Angel.co, which is a business site, wrote about it. Giz magazine, which is a device chromed robot magazine. Investing on businessweek.com. Businessweek.com wrote about it and has a listing of the assets of this company. So it's real. It's on Bloomberg Business Week. And Michael Bloomberg, you got to trust him.
It doesn't look like you can buy it yet, though. It says we will launch the first restaurant chain that profitably sells gourmet hamburgers at fast food prices. And then it has a C for
yourself.
This
doesn't just
link.
Prep it. It makes them. It's Momentum Machines, a startup robotic company. This is on Bloomberg Business.
That's what I meant by prep, though. Designs for consumption.
Designs and develops hamburger making robots for burger restaurants, convenience stores, food trucks, and vending applications in the United States. It roasts, grills a beef patty, layers it with lettuce, tomatoes, pickles, and onions, puts it in a bun, and wraps it to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That could head to a fast food restaurant. Is robots and a RoboCop at the auto checkout?
Yeah. I mean, if they actually taste good, if it actually works as well as they say, then yeah, it could be revolutionary. I mean, the problems that they're going to have to solve are customization, right? I mean, that's the thing is every fast food place does customization now. Burger King used to think they had a market advantage and to have it your way, but in McDonald's you can order your burger any way you want now too. So.
I'm just picturing like someone asking for something off menu and the thing going like does not compute
and the RoboCop
coming over and killing you.
Right. Now, I mean, I'm sure that with data the way it is now and software the way it is now, maybe that won't even be a problem.
No.
Or maybe if it was a problem, you could have it to where it serves the protein and the bun and the cheese, and then you top it yourself like Fuddruckers style.
It just gives you an enema, like a pill you put up your butt. And then here's what they'll do is they'll have an app for your iPhone that when you come into the store, it'll know it's you and start making it, or when you walk near the store. And that's how they'll sell more spyware to everybody. I am enjoying some wonderful Plume Room vape right now. It's a flavor called Angel Sauce. And you should go to plumeroom.com, theplumeroom.com, and order some stuff and get 10% off using the Fiends code VAPE 2012.
Angel sauce. That sounds like a new age lube.
2014. Yeah, it really
does.
But
I bet it tastes delicious, though.
It is. It's really it sounds like a new age lube. I'm sending you this. Yeah, it's VAPE 2014. I'm going to try to get them to change it to Fiends if they get another month. But yeah. Plume Room code. He said to send you this. Yeah. Our unrememberable code so you can, Yeah, yes, worms. So yes, go on with this real company. Thing is that people who a lot of lefties will hate this company. They'll be like, this is going to take money away from the working man. And it's like, but those are, some of those are the same people who are into that, like, what's that whole bullshit philosophy about, like, replacing everything with robots?
Oh, the Peter Joseph. Yeah. Yes, the Zeitgeist.
Yeah. This is the Zeitgeist. This is
it. They will point to it and say, see, guys?
Yep.
We can have robots do all our work for us.
Yep. Yep.
Yes, but hey, here's the thing, is the whole point of the website right now is to attract investors and business owners who will buy these things. You're not selling it to your local Peter Joseph Politburo to put one in your town square of your circular city so that you can go to it every morning and ask for a burger. No, they're trying to pitch it so that entrepreneurs will take a risk and buy one. Every piece of language in here is about how much money you can make if you buy one of these.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's the thing, Zeitgeisters and lefties. And yeah, I don't know. You don't work, you don't eat, right? Isn't it that simple? Isn't it that there's no such thing as a free lunch? And when I was at Women and Women First, or I mean Monkey Wrench Books, the sort of – it's kind of a cool book, hip bookstore, but you know, there's some lefty-leaning stuff in there. And one of it was – there was a poster that said, hourly workers of the world, go slower. Like, be less efficient was the gist. Was,
well,
like, milk
that's
it,
literally,
you know?
that's the softer version of monkey wrenching. Like, it's a, that's when it's illegal to strike, people do work slowdowns, which is just, they slow down even to the point where no one can point at them and say, you're striking. Like, no, I'm not. I'm here. I'm doing my job. You know?
Yeah.
They're saying have a work slowdown. That's like, you know, police can't go on strike, so they just take longer to show up when someone's being murdered. That's what that is.
Isn't that just the wrong attitude, though? I mean, how about you work faster and in your spare time look for better jobs? I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm one to talk because I need to be doing that too. But yeah, man, I mean, I don't know. Shouldn't the goal be to increase the value you provide to the world so that you will eventually get paid more for it?
Yes.
Not to try to milk some system through working slower and writing fanzines. Or I guess they're not fanzines, but zines.
Explain what Women and Women First reference is. You keep saying that. Not everyone knows. It's pretty funny, though.
Yes. If you don't know, you must watch Portlandia. It's a great show with what's his name? Fred Armiston of SNL.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's just hilarious.
It's him
and
what's her name?
Carrie Brownstein or Bernstein,
who
or
was
something
in
like
a
that.
She was in a Riot Girl band in Olympia. I forget which one, but one
oh really?
Was,
oh, yeah. So she's actually from that area ish.
Yeah,
the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. But yeah, they basically rip on
trendy
hippie
hipsters,
liberals in Portland
hipsters and punk rockers
and
how everyone has a beard and
alt livers. Can we call them that? Alt livers.
They live alternately, or they have an alternative liver.
I like the double entendre.
Yeah.
But yeah, and one of the perennial characters, one of the characters that they do a lot of skits about are these two lesbians who work at a store called Women and Women First. And they're just hilarious. Like one of their son comes in one day and one of the lesbians is just so upset that he has a penis and is just really offended by it.
I don't think they're lesbians. I think they're ultra feminists.
They're just hardcore feminists.
You never really know what their sexual orientation is. They have a lot of lesbians who come in there. But the one that's played by the guy, mm-hmm. the one that's played by Armiston, the woman that's played by him, gets – either him or the other one of them gets upset if someone calls her a woman. Like, she's like, why are you defining me like that?
Oh, because it's a gender thing. Yeah. Well, that's because me being a woman is me being a not man.
Yeah, and there's one where, like, someone brings their baby in. They're like, oh, what a cute baby. And he's like, yeah, it's a girl. And they get really mad all of a sudden. Like, who are you to decide what its gender is? You know,
you're right. It's not a straight line spectrum, but there are some branches in the web of feminism that that do things like write blogs about how all penis and vagina sex is rape.
Yeah.
And there's no consent involved because you've been trauma bonded to men from your birth. And
yeah.
You believe
I think I'm looking at a GIF of that. Let me send you this animated GIF. You can describe this. It went viral on Tumblr, whatever that is. It's pretty funny, actually, but it's incredibly violent.
Jesus. That's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
It looks like people from, what's that Farmville, not Farmville, the other one.
It's The Sims.
It's The Sims. Like. It's a woman with like a 4 foot, like a 3 foot long penis that's like 6 inches in diameter, like a horse cock, just walking up to this man and just rubbing, smashing this penis into his ass through his clothes like 5 times until he's just beyond dead and just like a pile of flesh.
Yeah.
It's funny.
That's the worst thing I've seen in my life.
Is your daughter looking? Shield your daughter's eyes from this, man.
Well, she's asleep. And the proper way to baby carry, Michael, we're just a little more progressive here in the Dotty household. The proper way to baby carry is them facing you like a monkey.
So let's take a break.
All right.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and I love the Plume Room nicotine liquid for all my e-vaping pleasure.
And I'm DJ Dean, the fiend behind the scene. We exclusively use the Plume Room artisan e-liquid. The Plume Room vape juice is made lovingly in America by the talented mad mixtress Andrea. It's not mass-produced or stored in stockpile. The Plume Room has 25 flavors, and almost a third of them are Spin Fuel Award winners.
Tell them the fiend sent you and use the discount code VAPE2014 to get 10% off at theplumeroom.com. That's theplumeroom.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
That was like a 5 second break. I just had to spit my soda from looking at this image, man. This is funny. It's horrible,
that
though.
That should not be the show image.
It will not be the. This is never going on the blog, man. I don't even know what to search. If people want to search to find this, oh, it's called Glitter Vag. GLITTER-VAG for some reason. I guess that's like the millennial version of what was that thing with the gaping asshole? Oh, Goatsy. Yeah.
Goatsy? What's
you
that?
You don't know what Goatsy is? You're about to find out, apparently, while you have your kid on your...
So this is the show of Michael Dean posting a bunch of naughty things.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not even naughty. They're just, like, abhorrent. I didn't even know a word for them. All right. You got to find me a Goatsy.
I'm going to just send you the picture. Goatsy is, like, the first shock image on the internet. It's from, like, 1995 or something. That girl was in Slater Kinney. Carrie Brownstein was the band she was in. Goatse.cx was a website in.
Oh my God!
It was a It was a website in. God, what was it? 1999, and it was a shock image of like a 50-year-old guy bending over and pulling his ass cheeks apart to like where you can see up his asshole and see inside it, and like his ass is spread like 4 inches open.
Yeah.
And it was just like he's here. It is
like after he gave birth to something.
Yes,
and there's a lot of images of people doing like doing, mock goatsies.
Yeah, well, it became kind of a meme too.
Yeah, it's a meme. Yeah, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like there's, oh man, there's some funny stuff online. Yeah. Here's a reverse goatsy. Here's the goatsy cake.
Oh wait, that's a really long. Ignore that link. I don't even.
There's
know what
goatsy
that
cookies.
Is,
why is it goatsy? Where did that name come from?
That was
from?
The name of the file for no reason at all. I don't know. Ooh, here's a woman doing it. I like that better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Goatsy.
Here, I'll send you the woman. Wow. A woman doing it. Ignore that really long link. But have you seen the original image yet? Have you found?
I'm pretty sure there's one that I saw that's the original image. I saw a pumpkin carved like that once, and I thought it was just a gross pumpkin.
Well,
thought it was hilarious.
People do it. Somebody
it was
has
somebody referencing Goatsy.
Somebody has it tattooed on their chest. Oh my God.
The woman one's not so bad.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like really giant gaping like the
it is for
man
the guy.
Either.
Yeah. The guy one is just horrific.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, you know, I've seen enough weird porn that it never really shocked me that much. I was like, yeah, whatever.
Okay. Yeah, the tattoo is something that one of your old friends would have done, isn't it?
Yes.
This is awful. Yes. The guy has it tattooed on his chest.
Well, here's pretty much the image, but they've put someone's face in the middle of the butthole, but that's the image right there. The guy has a wedding ring too.
Yeah, whose face is that? There's a lot of the ones with faces on in the buttholes. I've seen other ones like that. Yeah. I don't even know who that is. Yeah. Is that a congressman?
It's someone from State Farm Insurance, probably like the local salesman.
Insurance guy. That's hilarious.
It's called State Farm Sucks. The page.
That's great. That's great. Wow.
I like all the pictures that say Goatsy and just show people reacting like in horror. I mean, it was basically like a decade or more before Two Girls, One Cup, and it was as shocking because the world was more shockable back then.
There's one where it's superimposed over George Bush's mouth.
It's pretty funny where people do it with their mouth. Have you seen some of those?
Yeah.
This one's awesome. Look at this one. How did we get here, man? We're supposed to be talking about the president. I guess we got
to that place of the internet.
We got to that page on the internet.
That happens. Sometimes our show is, falling down wormholes. Oh, man. That's horrific, too. Man. Yeah, how did we get there?
I like this one. It's a picture of Captain Kirk superimposed holding a giant dildo and thinking the Goatsy picture. Like, that's what this will do.
Why is Captain Kirk holding a giant dildo? Is that from a real episode?
No, somebody put that in there. I mean, the picture's from a real episode. Like, that definitely looks like a real set. But,
Yeah. Wow. Wow. All right. Hopefully Lily is not absorbing any of this vicariously.
Is she asleep?
She's not absorbing any of this through osmosis. She is asleep, yes.
Good,
yes.
Good.
And hopefully she doesn't know what words mean.
Then you're still a good dad.
I guess. CPS is going to come get me after this.
No. I won't let him.
Yeah. Wow. Well. You won't let him, really? You're going to stand between – you're going to interpose yourself between Child Protective Services and me?
The Goatsy site, goatsy.cx, was the original site. I don't even know what CX is, but the domain.
Is that when a website was just like one page with stuff on it?
Yes. Yeah. It was the web address has been, the domain has been acquired by a new owner who is advertising webmail service using goatsy.cx email addresses. I want one.
Wow.
I think they'd all end up in spam, man. I don't know. It's Christmas Island is CX.
Christmas Island? What's that?
It's a territory of something. Of the Empire. It's got Flying Fish Cove is a place. It was discovered on Christmas Day. The majority of the population is Chinese Australian. I didn't know that existed, but it's of interest to scientists and naturalists because it has minimal human disturbance of the flora and fauna.
I missed a turn here. How did we get from gaping man butt to the wiki page for an island?
Oh, because the original Goatse was on a one-page website in 1999. It was GOTSE.CX. .CX is the Christmas Island country code. It's an Australian protectorate, but I guess it's a country. It's one of those, you know, they're owned by something else, but they get to pretend they're a country.
All right. Christmas Island. Fair enough. Yeah. I think I've heard of that.
Well, Queen Elizabeth II is their monarch. So, yeah.
Okay. I'm turning the internet off. I'm done with it.
So, we were going to talk about Marxism because I saw a thing on Facebook where some statist Marxist posted on some libertarian page, you know, can anybody give me a good argument against Marxism that doesn't contain, you know, what are they called? Straw man or other fallacies. And there were a whole bunch of book learning libertarians who gave these long answers and like, you must go read the blah, blah, blah by Lysander Spooner. And I'm like, that's not the answer you give people like that. And I gave three answers. And one is Marxism has never worked for very long or very well. And when it's worked at all, it's only worked because of mass murder was number one. Number two is under Marxism, the heads of the military and the government still get rich and powerful, which isn't very Marxist. And number three was even under Marxism, it isn't that good, very good for the worker either. And then I posted a picture of a Soviet bread line, you know, of peasants waiting 4 hours to get bread in the Soviet Union. And those were my answers. And it's like, you know, you can't use it's a violation of the non-aggression principle. Please go read this 200-page pamphlet from 1885 for an answer. No, no, he wants an answer. And my answers wouldn't have satisfied him. And he probably would have said they were straw man arguments, but, or some other logical fallacy. But I really like to think in, not even like dumbing it down, but just like, who has time for that shit? Just, those are three reasons Marxism doesn't work. And I told you that you had some fascinating historical facts about Marx that I didn't know. So why don't you go with your little mini lesson on Marx since we should be talking about Obama, and he probably is a Marxist and he's leaning that way and saying, I'm going to circumvent this Constitution and put in all of these equalize everybody and make the workers all happy bullshit. Yeah, that's Marxism. So go ahead and tell me about Marx, the guy who, first of all, before we do that, Marx came up with the theory and then Lenin put it into action, and then Stalin took it to the ultimate of where it really wasn't meant to go, and that was the Soviet Union. But Marxist wanted a stateless society, in theory. He was kind of an anarchist. He was a left anarchist, and he kind of wanted to replace the government with the unions, with the workers. But go ahead and tell me what's wrong with Marx as a person.
Yeah, well, I got most of this from Stefan Molyneux, who did a Truth About Karl Marx. It's really great. And in it, it's basically him just talking about this book. I think he gets most of it from a book. I'm trying to find who wrote it.
Oh, you kind of wrecked it by like giving attributes. We're the fiends. We don't need any fucking footnotes.
All right. So
you
we
made
don't
this
need any...
up. You made this up and came up with
I,
this
I
on your own.
I made this up in my head. Yes. Okay. So yeah, man, Marx was a douchebag. Like, he was all about the non-exploitation of workers, right? The average dude is exploited by his boss, and it's awful, and the living conditions are horrible, and they don't get paid enough, and they're the ones really creating the value because they're the ones really doing the labor. I mean, that's kind of it in a nutshell, or at least parts of it. But he was a freaking hypocrite, man. And what I told you over the phone was him and his wife, Jenny, had basically a slave. I mean, they some people call it a household manager. That's what Wikipedia calls it because it's probably edited by by Marxists. But her name was Helen DeMuth. Her nickname was Lynchin. They gave her this ugly, awful nickname. And the parents of Marx's wife basically gave her – sorry, she's not – she's a person – gave her to the family.
A slave.
And And yeah, and Marks never paid her, didn't give her money. She did not have a wage or a salary. So Karl Marx basically had a slave, somebody
what,
who worked.
What kept her from leaving? Was like there's so much famine, she was happy to like not be starving or something?
I guess it's kind of hard for me to wrap my head, and I think probably most Americans or New Worlders to wrap their head, but I think that kind of thing happens in Iran too. And
a sense of devotion too, like, well, that's what I do. I am the manservant of this family and have always been. Yeah.
Right, right. And I think some of it's a class thing. Like, I think sometimes poor, lower class people will give a kid, a baby, to a rich family so that the baby can grow up in the rich household, but the baby
like
ends
when
up
Bart, just, like when Bart goes and lives with Mr. Burns?
Well, not like that at all, because they're meant to be the servant, you know.
Yeah, because he bought, he was like
this house.
He was like buying Bart Bugatti motor, you know, like buying yeah. him like race yeah. cars, Formula One race cars, and letting him crash them. That's not what you do yeah. for the servants.
No, no, no. But so what Marx did to the servant was fucked her, got her pregnant, had an affair with her, got her pregnant, and then didn't claim the child.
Oh, I can hear your baby. It's so cute.
Yes,
she's wife sleeping.
She's very upset about it. No, it's just I've been away from her all day. Aww, and I missed her. So
you want to.
I thought I'd carry her.
You know what? My wife sent
because
me.
Because I claim my baby and yeah. I plan on raising her and not providing her for away. Her. Unlike Karl Marx.
You're not going to give her to the Romneys to raise. And
exactly. Exactly.
Or George yeah. Soros.
And so apparently he tried to get Engels, who's kind of his MWD or his Nima Vidotti.
His Nima to the MWD. Yeah, or yeah, his, exactly. his like Paul McCartney his, to the John Lennon, Lennon yeah. of Marx. The Lennon right. of Marx.
The Lennon of Marx, yeah.
I was waiting for
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And so Engels apparently claimed her for a little while. But in some of his letters or documents at some point, I don't know if it came out after one of them died, but it was admitted that, yeah, I mean, obviously this is Marx's kid and it looks just like him. but no, he never took responsibility for his actions, and he basically let this baby grow up as a bastard of his slave, and then has the gall to be some kind of moralizer, saying that I'm going to come up with the theories that right all the injustices in the world, when his whole house is full of nothing but injustice and exploitation and non-work. Although I guess non-work was one of his things, so. Screw that guy, man.
Yeah. Did you know that that Russia hated the Beatles for the song USSR?
I thought that was a song about
back
how
in the USSR.
They were hanging out back in
oh,
the
Oh, it
USSR.
Was, but they said that the Russia USSR officially derided the Beatles as a belch of Western culture, and in 1980s Paul McCartney was refused permission to play there. That song's great. They wrote it with one of the Beach Boys. They wrote it with Mike Love in India. When they were visiting the Maharishi.
Yeah, what is that?
The Maharishi? Oh, the Beatles yeah. were into Indian mysticism and went and found some bearded Indian guy to tell them what to do. That was all the rage yeah. in the 60s. Everyone who
yeah,
had
that was kind of big in the 60s. I didn't live through it, so I don't kind of get it. I mean, Indian stuff is kind of the rage when it comes to eating at buffets here in America now. But what was the deal with the incense and the sitars?
I don't
the
know, man. Back then. It kind of wrecked the Beatles. It was the beginning of the downfall.
Oh, wrecked the Beatles.
Yeah, before Yoko.
I think Lily needs boob. Can we take a break for her to get a boob in her mouth?
Yeah. Can I watch?
All right. Not
I'll just
at
play
all.
Some Beatles. I'll play some no. Beatles and
although,
keep recording.
We have some great pictures taken from wife's point of view when she's breastfeeding, but they're not.
All right. Go ahead.
They're just really keep cute, going. But nobody will ever see them. So I get the point.
Yeah. All right.
I'll be back.
All right. This has quickly become Michael Dean After Dark. And if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in.
Yeah. We all want to change the world. tell me that it's evolution. Well, you know, we don't want to change the world. But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out?
Or never.
You know what's weird about that song is he says, you know, if you want to, you can count me out. And then he says in at one point. It's weird.
Huh,
like
I
he
did
was
not know
he
that.
Was on the track. Yeah, we'll find it. It's almost here. Let's see. Yes.
Yeah, he also says if you want money for people who preach and hate, you're going to have to wait. He doesn't say I won't give it to you. So just wait a little bit.
I know.
Wait until I'm dead, then Paul McCartney will give you tons of it.
Yeah. Oh, it's in the revamp of this song. It's called Revolution 1. And then there's Revolution 9, which is a weird, different, completely song.
Is that the number 9?
Yeah.
Number 9?
Yeah, Revolution 1. Let's hear it. Revolution 1's better, anyway. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The other version's better. I just want to find the in. It's in this one.
We all want to change the world.
Yeah, it does. Here it is.
When we talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out? In.
There it is. Did you hear it? He said in.
I heard out, but maybe I heard in and an
he
overdub.
He says out and then in is an overdub.
Don't you know that you can count me out in?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. That's weird.
Yeah.
Here, and they're the Beatles, so it's not like that was an accident.
Oh,
that
I know.
Was an Easter egg.
Yeah, Easter egg. I'm just getting ready for Michael Dean After Dark. This is what it's going to be
like.
I like
that.
Yeah, oh, this song's
fucked. What's that last track?
This is Helter Skelter. Paul McCartney wrote this, of all people, and he's a pussy. Another fucking serious one.
Yes, I'm lonely. Wanna die. If I ain't dead already. Girl, you know the reason why. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was John Lennon from the song Cold Turkey from the album Power to the People. And then that will lead us back to Marxism. Power to the people, man.
Yeah, power to the people.
The Beatles rock. Beatles fucking rock when they don't suck. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. To me, power to the people means power to the individual. That's what
go.
It should be.
There you go.
In communism, the very name suggests that it's not about the individual.
But they sell it like it is, too. Well, they say they quickly correct you if you try to have independent thoughts and think of anything other than the beehive. But, you know, they sell it to young, stupid people on, you want to have more power, right? Yeah.
Right, right, right.
Hey, let's hang on a sec.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Hey, this is Squizcar Squigelts from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Because many internet users have been tricked into viewing the Goatsy site or Amir at one time or another, it has become an internet meme. Okay, go on. Sorry, what?
Hold on. Well, actually, I think we've got a Netflix watcher here. Let me go kibosh that.
Okay, I'll play some more... I ain't using my Netflix here. Let's see. What's that song? Streets. Something about Streets. David Gilmour. What is that song? In the Street. Cry from the Street. That's it. That's a good song. Cry from the Street. Yeah. Yeah. Here we go. Just cry from the street. Kind of sounds like that Cold Turkey song. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, go on with your bad right. self. Talk about Marx while we listen to it. Going all the way back to 19...
Well, I was trying to find a list of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto that isn't on a right-wing site ripping on it.
Good luck. Yeah, it's going to say Obamacare's on it.
If you Google it, it doesn't have 10 planks in the Communist Manifesto. Is it, are the 10 planks in Das Kapital, or is it just a myth? Or is there actually no 10 planks?
I've only
planks?
Ever seen it actually on right-wing sites, I think. 10 points, yeah. Let's search. Hmm.
Maybe it's not a real thing.
10 points in Communist wrong. Manifesto.
Maybe we should all be communists.
Let's ask Wikipedia.
I'll That's where it. I'm at. I'm at Wikipedia. All right.
The word points isn't even on this page. Well, contents. Okay. It's got, let's see, it talks about bourgeois and proletariats, proletariats and communists, socialist and communist literature, provision of communists in relation to various other parties. It doesn't really answer my your question.
No. That's boring.
Abolition of, I mean, I found the 10 points, but it's on some other
it's
site.
On a right-wing site.
Probably. Yeah. I'm searching these, though, and seeing if this is really... Yeah, I don't know, man, that this is real, but these all sound like tenets of communism. Abolition of property and land, application of all rents to land and public purposes, heavier progressive graduated income tax, abolition of the right to inheritance, confiscation of all property from emigrants and rebels, centralization of credit in the hands of the states by means of a central state, centralization of the means of communication and transport. I mean, these are what all totalitarian governments do and what all governments do to an extent.
But did Marx actually say them?
I don't think so.
No.
I can't find...
They're not part of his thing?
Yeah, there should be a... What's the site that debunks... There should be a Snopes. Let me search it on Snopes.
Well, there is... In Wiki, there's... there's a list of concepts associated with Marxism. But then they don't tie it directly back to Marx. Because I guess Marxism is bigger than just Marx. Because there are people who interpreted it and people who continue to advocate
Snopes,
for
Snopes
it.
Snopes says it's false. Here, let me send it to you.
Okay.
You can go ahead and read this.
It is false. Uh-huh.
And this one's okay. Different than the ones I just saw. It's got some of the same things on it, but... Yeah. Yeah, it's
well, no, this is communist rules for revolution. This is different from the 10 planks.
Okay, but this is written by some right-wing think tank, probably.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we don't know. I guess the only reason I'm bringing it up is because... some people are like, well, you can't just rip on Marx and then have that mean the death of the idea. You're not attacking the idea if you're just ripping on Marx.
Well, what's the idea? Give in a short phrase. I mean, what are Marx's ideas? I know, but if the listener doesn't.
Maybe we don't actually know.
I know.
You know? Sure. I mean, when I think of them, which is just what I think, which has been filtered to me, I never read Das Kapital, you know? I don't exactly know what his actual words
were. No, you're too busy listening to Barack Obama. You should be listening to Das Kapital instead of Barack Obama, really. I mean, go to the source, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure there's ebooks. I'm sure there's audiobooks of Das Kapital.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't want to listen to it. But yeah, I guess I should. It should be on the to-do list so I can make fun of it. Let's see. Okay. So in concepts... And these are general things that people think of with Marxism, and they're all wrong. Classless society, common ownership, proletarian internationalism. I don't even know what that means.
You think these are not communist planks? They sound
no,
like it to
I think,
me.
I think they are. Yeah. I think they are. I mean, they're wrong, like they're not good ideas. Common ownership isn't, at least. I guess... I don't know about classless society.
Well, here's
I mean,
a
classless
quote,
is
here's
big
a,
thing, wasn't
here's
it?
Here's a quote. Yeah, that was his big thing. Here's a quote from Karl Marx. Society does not consist of individuals, but express the sum of interrelations, the relations within each of these individuals stand. That sounds like it missed something in translation, but the first part of it sounds like communism to me. Society does not consist of individuals.
Hmm. Well, I guess you could make the argument that when he's not talking about individuals, he's talking about how individuals interact with each other. I mean, okay, that makes you a sociologist, I guess.
He defined a social class as its relation by its relationship to the means of production. See, that's another thing too, is that this whole concept not only came out of a time when people were mostly starving, it also came out of a time when industry was the only economy, really.
You know, that's a really good point, too. Yeah, I mean, how Marx viewed class and the means of production is vastly different than what capitalism actually brought us, right?
Even other communists, like Mao. Mao's was an agricultural revolution more than a factory revolution. You know, he wanted everyone to work in the fields, and it was called the agricultural revolution. Marx, it was all about factories.
Yeah, but I guess it's a good example of how his theories don't really hold water in the face of new facts on the ground, which means they're not very good theories, right? If we all have means of production now, if the means of production is your computer,
yeah,
which it is in lots of products and professions now,
yeah,
then we all or a majority of us own our own means of production, yeah, or at least the potential for our own means of production.
Marxism is a very brick and mortar concept. And Russia, the Soviet Union, after the revolution, wanted to quickly industrialize and advance technologically. And I think later when Mao became emperor of the world in China, he wanted to go back. He felt that industry had brought decadence and wanted to reverse it. And that's why it was an agricultural belief.
Mm. So Mao was a commie primitivist, not just a commie.
Yeah. I mean, he wanted to make rifles, but not much else. He didn't, you know, he didn't want the average person's life to improve terribly because then they wouldn't need him as much.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I mean, what they all stink of to me, and what the common thread is in Marx, and this is his theory, so this is a theory I'm attacking, but it is about changing society, right? It is about changing
the whole structure of it. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And that society should conform to your ideas as you being an individual, Karl Marx. This theory that you wrote in your book is the best way for humans to interact with each other. That seems to me the nut of it. And that also is why I think that that's how it always ends up as horrible tyrannies, is because that is the main point, is that society can be planned and human interactions can be planned and decided for optimum efficiency or whatever the goal is. But I think that that premise is false, and that's why you end up with things like Stalin throwing people in gulags and killing between 20 and 50 million people either through starvation or actually bullets in the head. And well, same with Mao.
I mean, Marx was technically an anarchist, or considered very close to it. He wanted a stateless society, but again, it was there wasn't a choice, too, and it, especially with the people that put it into action, like Lenin and Stalin. I really believe that anarcho-capitalism or libertarianism or this brand of it is the only political ideology that doesn't involve killing everyone who doesn't get along with it. I mean, that's what democracy does. That's what socialism does. That's what communism does. They all There's no room for dissenters in it, and they have to be killed or exiled.
Yes. Yes.
And you
that's the big philosophical departure with actual anarchism, or the kind of anarchism we preach, is that's the thing, is we don't kill you if you don't do what we think will be the best for humanity.
Yeah. And there are anarchists who are post-Marx who, you know, have other beliefs that, you know, who are communist anarchists, basically. But I you know, like, so what do they call them? Syndicalists. But mm-hmm. I've never gotten a good answer out of one of those guys or girls of, what are you going to do with me? You know, like, I'm not going to give up my property. What are you going to do with me? How are you going to redistribute my wealth? Because they all talk like it'll be an intellectual revolution and everyone will just want to share everything, which is like a 5-year-old. I mean, that's,
although we talk like that too. We say there'll be an intellectual revolution and people won't want a state to control everything.
Well, it might just be this might be the weirdest thing I've ever said on The Fiends, but you know, that might just be wishful thinking on our part, and it might just be because we can't live in this world the way it is, and we can't shoot. You know, we're not revolutionaries. Mm-hmm. We're not going to kill the bastards. And we can't see any way for it to happen other than the intellectual revolution. I mean, it's kind of what Ben Stone brought me to. And I don't really have a basis for it. It's a religion to me, I guess. You know, a lot of times non-libertarians...
Well, there's the George Donnelly thing of if we're right, then it wins out in the end. Either that or humanity fails to exist. Because if the state really is this evil force that that does nothing but feed off of human misery and to pad its own power, then the logical ends of it are either some kind of horrible dystopian future where you can't really call human life anything similar to what we think of it now, or if our ideas are right, because they're the right ones, they'll win out in the end because people will realize that the survival of themselves, hence the species, depends on changing things.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe we're all going to die.
Oh, yeah, it goes either way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and then there's the Anthony Gregory thing that, you know, even if you can't see a practical in your lifetime of this happening, of there being some kind of perfect lib pair, that doesn't mean you should stop advocating for it.
Right,
that doesn't mean you should stop theorizing about it or talking
Ron
about
Paul
it or saying that's the best thing.
Ron Paul said, you know, in the end, we want to be able to look back and not have our grandchildren say, why didn't you try, you know?
Right, right.
Exactly. Why didn't our 27 great-grandchildren like Ron Paul has, right, but, you know. You know, there's one thing that you said, too, was that Marxism tends to always seem to have the goal of security as opposed to liberty.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I don't know if that's actually from Marx himself. You know, I think it is important to look at the man and his personality when you're looking at what informed the theory, because there's no such thing as being objective, and especially with the social sciences, where you can't really point at a study or make an experiment with reproducible results. I mean, I guess you kind of can now in some senses, but Marx wasn't a hard scientist.
No.
I mean, all of his writings were from his subjective worldview.
I'm kind of surprised they caught on. I mean, it was basically he was a guy somewhere blogging. He was a guy writing in his house. And somehow it became a worldwide revolution.
Well, it struck a nerve. It struck a nerve. And I think that it still strikes a nerve. And I think the nerve is people's natural fear, their need for security. It's the same nerve. It's that limbic system response that the TV news tries to stimulate into you.
Here's what I think.
Be more afraid.
Here's what I think. I think that Marxism, you know, let's call communism Marxism because that's the original communism. I think that communism only spread because of two things. One was that book, Das Kapital, and the other was the AK-47. It was a book that needed a piece of technology to spread it. And I think that liberty is, you know, basically Lysander Spooner and all the derivations of it up to us and beyond, and the microphone and the home computer. I really do.
The mic is our AK.
It is, man.
But that's a good point, though. Is that we try to spread ours.
I have an AK. I've touched it fucking twice this year. I use a microphone every day. I'm saying it's you know, it's in my closet. It's just there.
Right.
It's
not because you don't have the AK. It's because you don't. Using the AK to get your ideas across would be antithetical to your ideas. It would be the opposite.
It sounds horrible.
It would be the biggest contradiction.
It sounds horrible. It would be a huge contradiction, and it just fucking sounds horrible. I can't picture it, man.
Right.
It'd be horrible.
Yeah. And so I think that the reason why you still have a lot of young people or old people, old farts who vote Democrat and drive Priuses. I'm not saying all old people who vote Democrat and drive Priuses are Marxists, but you have these people who are their main concern is security, right? It's that tension between security and liberty. And I think that communism comes from a fear, an intense fear that without something there, some kind of safety net, some kind of power that's bigger than yourself to protect you and feed you,
a gang,
that you would end up like you always like to say, in a ditch pushing berries up your nose or starve
well
to death.
That's where communism
exploited and worked too hard.
Communism came out of a Russia where people working 100 hours a week were starving and putting berries up their nose. That's why it appealed. Mm-hmm. Someone said, mm-hmm. Here's this book. And most people said, what is book? I can't read. And
what
someone,
is book?
And someone
book
read
is
it.
Book.
And someone read it to them and gave speeches and it caught on. You know, they were fucking starving. They were ready for an answer. And people aren't
starving.
Well,
you know, the Bolsheviks tried to conquer, I guess, Moscow, win the revolution, like three or four times. I can't remember. They failed multiple times. In the end,
they did not have AKs.
Well, no. One of the reasons they succeeded was because the Russians were the Russian army was occupied fighting in the World War, right? In World War One, they were busy. So you could blame the Bolshevik successes on American foreign policy.
Empirism, yeah.
Imperialism.
Yeah. I guess the thing that bums me out the most is that old thing of what was the woman who was the slave who was freed, who freed other slaves, who said, "I could have freed many more if they'd only known they were slaves." Who said that? Mm. You know that one?
I don't know.
It's a good one.
That's pretty good though.
But I feel like everyone are slaves, man, and our kind of thought are the only people who aren't thinking like slaves. Like, everybody is like, well, you got to pay attention. After last night, 90% of America probably watched Obama. First of all, why has he got a TV show? I fight to get on every station, man. He just says, I'm going on.
He's just a grocery clerk on Xanax. Who wants to hear him talk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he gets on there. Everyone in America is talking about that today, except us. And they're all slaves, man. They're all sheep. I hate to use such terms like that, but slaves is accurate. It's like everyone in America is either saying, "Did you hear what Obama said? That's horrible!" Or they're saying, "I really like what Obama said. If those other people, horrible people, would only get out of the way, he could get this stuff done." Everyone is betting their whole fucking life and the earth, their world, on what some fucking dude who wasn't even a good attorney, wasn't good enough to be an attorney, he had to teach, is saying. You know, it's ridiculous. And that is slavery, to think you have to care what that one guy thinks. I mean,
not even what he's saying, but what he's reading from a fancy screen that it's written by George, of people wrote for
George
him.
Soros's secretary wrote. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at least when I read the teleprompter, I mostly wrote my own news copy. Even if it was just a pull from the AP wire, at least my hands did the typing. I mean, this guy he's not even Jay Leno. I don't even think he's in the writing meetings when they're writing these things for him.
Yeah,
he's not telling his own jokes, man. He's just getting up there and reading like a parrot.
Jay Leno probably wrote his own jokes back when he was doing stand-up.
Yeah. Well, maybe Barack Obama wrote his speeches at some point in his life, but what you're watching now, and there's never any substance to it, right?
He's hidden all of them, too. You can't find his college term papers. They've buried all that shit. He probably wrote things about how great Marx was and why we all need to smoke weed and take away the guns. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
So my wife sent me a card. It was funny. I got a card today in the mail that she sent from it was a really just a lovey-dovey card, kind of cute, but like, you know, we live in the same house. She didn't hand it to me though. She mailed it to me and I got it. She writes so infrequently. Everything is typed or spoken between us that I barely recognize her handwriting. I was like, who sent me a card? And it was like, oh, it's from Casper. I didn't notice it was our PO box. I'm like, oh, it's probably from our dentist or something. I opened it up and it was like, it says, "I'd rather go no place with you than someplace with everyone else, with anyone else, which is the perfect card for me.
That's sweet.
And I opened it up and it said, "Love you," and it's underlined. And I'm like, holy fuck, who in Casper is sending me love letter? I have a stalker. Someone heard us on the radio and they're going to kill me. And I was like, oh, DJ.
Yes, your loving wife.
Yeah, it's funny.
Excellent. Yeah. All right, are we done with Marx's ass now?
Yeah, let's take a break.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself. a groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon. Your
house is your property. Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
We can roll. We can roll on through.
We can roll. We be rolling on the Molly.
Not me. Yes. So I learned, by the way, Freedom Fiends button is still 10 for $10. Actually order them now and I'll throw in a couple Michael Dean After Dark buttons, a brand new button. We're not getting rid of Fiends buttons. We're adding a button.
Adding button. More button for your buck.
I'm paying for them. The Fiends are paying for the postage for now.
More button for your bit. We should change instead of paying people in bits. Oh, that costs $5. Nah, five bits, man. Well, I guess that's a lot.
I learned today how the other half lives. It was kind of interesting. Speaking of class warfare.
Is there a half and half thing now?
Yeah. Well, you know, okay, my dad is a businessman. He has been his whole life, and he would be rich, except his wife, not my mother, the evil stepmother, basically took all his money. She had him put all his houses he owned in his name, took a bunch of his money, had him buy her houses, and she like gave it all to her kids. And then she divorced him, then she died and passed all his shit onto her kids. So
you can't make a hoe a housewife. Was she a hoe when he met her?
She's a gold digger. Put it this way, he was her fifth husband. That says everything you need to know right there.
Wow.
Yeah. So and she was just evil. Yeah, well, you know, whatever. I make my own way. I don't need anything from my parents. But my dad, because he was had money earlier in his life, or like had businesses, he never had a lot of cash, but he was like had things in the fire and had different projects, which is why I do. It inspired me. Mm-hmm. That's what I got from him. But twice in my life, he's given me a gift that seemed like it was an amazing gift a rich man would give his son. And he spoke of it that way. Like, son, you're old enough now and responsible. I'm going to give you some land. He gave me this deed to this land in New Mexico.
I remember. Yeah.
I tried to sell. I paid the taxes on it for like 5 years. And I'm like, it's in the middle of nowhere. You look at it on Google Skyview and it's like, it looks like the fucking moon. Not even with sagebrush, just rattlesnake. And
yeah.
And I ended up, like, I couldn't sell it. Like, a realtor wouldn't even touch it. And I finally sold it to a guy for $650 and bought an AK-47. So that's my dad's, what do you call it? What you pass on to your children? My
legacy.
My
inheritance.
There's a fancier word for that. Like, your blood something. Blood money? No, not blood money. No. Yeah, but it's what he's passed on to me. And and then recently he said, you know, when you were 9, I bought you some stock in American Airlines. And I just got a letter saying that the stock had split and been reissued with more shares. And I want you to have it now. And it's in my name. Like, he got it in my name. But he didn't have the information. He couldn't tell me like what it was, whatever, you know, like. Uh-huh. And he said there were 1,000. He thought there were 1,000 shares. And he misread it. It was one share. It was 1.000 shares. And he thought it was 1,000 shares. And it was like, this stock is currently $23 a share. So I thought, I was like, cool, man. I have $23,000. I've never had that much in my life. I can get some stuff fixed on the house. We can, you know, set some aside, do this, do that, take a trip, put some in Bitcoin, put some in gold, put some in ammo, put some in the bank. And it took me like 10 hours on the phone over 2 weeks to finally get a hold of the right people at American Airlines and give them my information and find out I have one share and it's worth $23. It's worth $33 actually. So, You know, I spent about, at minimum wage, I spent like $150 worth of time finding out my dad's legacy that he gave to me graciously. And I'm not complaining. I wouldn't complain, except that the two times he's given me these gifts, it's been like, son, I bestow upon you this kingdom. Someday all of this rattlesnake land will be yours. You know, it gets my hopes up. Yeah, because in his mind, he's still a rich man. So, and he didn't marry a horrible fucking whore of a woman who stole everything from him.
Yeah, what a bitch.
You know, so, but he did give me my drive to work and work for myself and do all these different things all at once. So I, that's the best thing he could give anybody. So
yeah, man, totally. Yeah.
But so I dealt with tech support for a stock company today. It's very different.
Well, I guess it wouldn't be tech support. It was concierge.
It was like services. Concierge. Yeah,
investor services. Yeah,
it was investor services at American Airlines, and it was the complete opposite of, I'm sorry, sir, I do not, you know, like the usual person you call.
Excuse me, do you mind if I check your asshole?
Yeah, this was some, and the lady, I think she was black, not that it makes a difference. I think she was Jamaican, but I think she was in America. She reminded me, of the wise old Jamaican woman, black woman they have in every movie. You know, like she's the mentor. Right. They even
she's
have
the
one
Oracle
in
the Matrix.
In Matrix. Yeah, it was her, basically. She was doing tech support. I mean, if this phone call was an office visit, they would have been bringing me sushi and rubbing my shoulders. It was so nice, man. And I guess that's how, like, people with money, you know, like deal with tech support on the phone.
So you learned how you were living like both halves because you worked for $33 for 8 hours and then at the end of it your payoff was dealing with the concierge.
I was getting
a nice phone call.
I was getting I was getting Bangalore wages and like East, West Side Manhattan treatment.
There you go.
Yep.
That's great. Oh man. So,
but I was thinking of, I was thinking of just keeping the stock because stock, you know, stock, people who own stock, stockholders, I guess they're called, can go to the stockholder meetings. So I could go and like stand up and make speeches, but like the crazy cat lady in Futurama.
I got one kajigger. Yeah, because you have exactly one share. It's exactly like that Futurama episode.
I know. But she ended up being like the deciding share in what happened with the company.
Yeah,
that would not be the case.
No, I thought it was like a Deus Ex Machina thing and Scruffy ended up having the majority share.
I think
and they were
did.
All surprised. He goes, Scruffy believes in this company.
Yeah,
and
that was
he, like, wipes a tear from his eye.
I love Scruffy.
A janitor. I love how he's a janitor, not the janitor.
Scruffy.
Implying that there's other janitors, but you only ever see him.
I think he's Scruffy the janitor. He's not.
I think he says a janitor. When they ask,
janitor.
Who are you? He goes, Scruffy, a janitor. Are you fact checking me?
Yeah. What does the lady say about her cat in the shareholders meeting?
Yes. She goes, I also vote that my cat is pretty and smells nice.
I would do that at an American Airlines stock meeting.
You would, yes.
I think if I went to an American Airlines stock meeting and started expressing my opinions as a stockholder, I think that like two goons would come over and taser me and drag me out while one of them, while a third takes a picture of me with his smartphone. And like finds out who I am through facial recognition because I've put my face on Facebook a couple years ago, and then he probably has an app on his phone to just add me to the don't fly the no fly list.
Right. Yes, which will convert to the drone list.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I went out before the last or after the last break and told my roommate to not watch Futurama because I'm on Netflix because I'm doing a show. And so I go in my room and start talking about Futurama.
Well, you know, he could put it on low. It does. If it's not on high def, it would use less.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. Tell him that if he ever gets really like upset about it.
Well, one day we'll have the gigabit and everything.
I know.
Or we'll have the
Google
Fiber.
Well, when are you getting that? And can you get it in your town that's not Austin?
I'm like across the border from Austin.
You'd have to run a cable across the street to get it.
Yeah, well, if it were fiber, that'd be a really bad idea. Like, fiber's super fragile. Like, you know, it's easy to break. So yeah, you wouldn't want to run.
So I was telling you today, we were talking about Hellfire missiles, and you were like, "Don't they cost $1 million?" I'm like, "No, that's Tomahawk missiles. You know, the surface to air or the cruise missiles." But Hellfire missiles aren't for going 600 miles. They're for going like a mile. They're for going from the drone to you, or for going from this tank to that tank you can see. They cost $68,000. They're made by Lockheed Martin. And I read you this thing about the history of it, and you were like, of course, that makes sense. The only, you know, usually they're used from aircraft to the ground or from a tank to something on the ground. But one was used once to from air to air to take out another plane.
Yes, and you told me it was in the it was in a war in Lebanon. It was Israel's drone that shot the Hellfire, and I was like, but who would they have shot the missile at? Lebanon doesn't have an air force.
It was a Lebanese commercial jet that wouldn't that was violating Israel's airspace that they declared in Lebanon over
in Lebanon.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. That is so horrible.
In 2001.
And we chuckled because you got to laugh to get rid of the fear of death, I guess. But yeah, man. Okay, so that's the world's greatest democracy in the Middle East, the one that blows up civilian airliners because they're violating airspace in their own country somehow.
Here's another like state of the republic, state of the empire, how stupid things are. There was a controversy in the United Kingdom in 2008 when they said that they were using a variant. It was released that they're using a variant of the Hellfire missile that contained thermobaric munitions, which is like what thermite, you know, it's things that like heat up like and can cut steel basically. And were added to British Army arsenal to these weapons. Thermobaric weapons have been condemned by human rights groups. And I'm thinking like rules of war are so insane. I mean, I guess it's good if it's just soldiers fighting soldiers and trying to stay out of civilian zones. But things like, you know, you have to use full metal jacket. You can't use expanding bullets in war, and you can bomb people, but the bombs can't be too hot after they explode, you know?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Rules of war are just kind of silly. I mean, it's like the rules of gang rape. This is what it is. It's like if you decided to come up and say, well, you can gang rape this person.
You have to get her flowers afterwards.
Yes. You must, at least 3% of the gangbangers must wear a condom or something like that.
Yeah.
It's just so ridiculous. Because obviously the people who are the aggressors in the war are starting a war. They don't care about international laws or norms. They just want to blow people to little pieces for some odd reason. I guess because it means you'll have to make more Hellfire missiles in Lockheed or who makes the Hellfire?
Lockheed
makes
Martin
missiles. No, they do make the Hellfire. Oh, okay.
Hellfire is made by Lockheed Martin. The Tomahawk cruise missile is made by
General Dynamics.
General Dynamics.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I guess
there's a company called General Robotics that makes drones. I think, isn't there?
Maybe.
Or is that a modem company? General Robotics.
Are there robotic modems?
No. What was the big...
General Robotics makes the Ferret under vehicle inspection robot. It looks like it's for cops.
The Ferret.
It's a Roomba with a camera on the top.
And it can't disarm a bomb. It just tells you if it's there. It really is.
Apparently.
It really is a Roomba with a camera, man.
Yeah.
That should be... What?
It's just all the photo ops with the security guards and
what's it
and
called?
The government goons.
The Ferret?
General Robotics, the Ferret. Yeah, if you just Google General Robotics, it's the top Google search. and you wear these like Google Glass type things. Like you wear these cool looking sunglasses to, I guess, see what the robot sees.
The Ferret from General Robotics. Oh, man. This looks like something from Futurama. It really does. I watched RoboCop the other day. I haven't seen it in years.
You know they're doing a remake, right? Is that why you watched it?
No. It's probably on because they're making a remake.
Did you know about the remake?
No. The remake is probably going to be ultra patriotic. There's actually nothing patriotic.
The theme of... I saw the preview when I watched Hunger Games. They played the preview for the RoboCop remake, and I got a big sense that the whole point of the new RoboCop
selling drones
is to justify RoboCops. Yeah, exactly. No, it was all about in the preview. There was a lot of dialogue about, well, will the American public be cool with this?
Ugh.
And now, obviously, at the end of it, the RoboCop's going to be a success, and he's going to win, and he's going to be the hero and get the Robo Girl or whatever equivalent there is. So yeah. I mean, how could it not be a big commercial for, hey, man, it's okay. RoboCop's
your
friend.
Did you ever see the first one?
I didn't. I played the video game on Sega Game Gear, but I never watched the
first one. The first one is great, and it's not it's not even really pro cop. I mean, there's a good cop in it, but he's kind of the minority. Basically, it's the not too distant future. It's in Detroit, of course. That's why Lou loves mentioning this movie, because it's in Detroit. And I know you've seen it.
Well, it's in like a post-apocalyptic Detroit, right? Like Detroit looks like it looks now.
Yes. Yes. But it's not like Road Warrior. It's like modern, like crappy section of a modern city, but the whole town. Yeah. It's Detroit now, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, it's one of those not too distant future anti-utopia movies where the government is, the government's still there, but basically corporations have become so big that they kind of tell the government what to do. Kind of like now. Yeah. It's just a vision. It's a documentary from now.
It's a documentary
made in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. And basically the hero of it, the RoboCop, is a good cop who is shot by a bad guy and paralyzed. And there's this company that makes police technology, and they've come out with this. It's kind of, they turn him into a cyborg, basically, you know. But he's a good guy.
Right.
He's not out to, you know, kill people for cussing or wearing baggy pants on the corner. He's a real, you know, a peace officer. But this company makes a thing. It's parodied.
It looks like a mech robot, right?
Yeah, it's parodied in South Park when the TV becomes sentient and starts killing people, when the chef's flat screen.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But it like kills somebody in the board meeting, on the board of the company that made it. And
but then the RoboCop goes and fights it and wins or something, right?
And then the company realizes that something horrible is going to happen if the RoboCop wins, so they program a bunch of these things to go try to really kill him. And there's even a line in it where they're like, you know, they get the police to go on strike so crime goes up so they can release one of these robo things on every corner, you know, to create a demand.
Well, maybe I'm wrong, because that's a pretty good I don't know, anti-corporate state plot, anti-corporate state police plot.
It is. It's not what you think.
Maybe
it'd
be. I'm wrong about the new one. Maybe
I'll bet you're right. I'll bet General Dynamics paid for this movie. I really think so.
Yeah. Well, I doubt I'll watch it. Maybe I should.
Well, your baby's crying. Should I let you go?
Oh, you can hear that?
Yeah.
I think she wants her daddy. I feel so bad leaving her during the day. I feel like I should be there for her.
Well, I haven't been bugging you as much now that I got two new projects coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, man, it's good fiends. Good Wednesday show. Good way to laid back, make fun of stuff.
This lady with these Google glasses on kind of looks like Yoko Ono when she was wearing really big glasses for a while.
The ferret lady?
Yes.
The Roomba.
Yeah. The $50,000 taxpayer funded Roomba with a robot.
There you go. Yeah.
I'll bet you could make one of these for $200. I'll bet you could take a Roomba and put a little webcam on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Although Roombas aren't remote controlled. You could do this with a toy, like one of those little cars.
But Roombas are programmable. Like, you can give them a radius. So if you placed it in the center of the car.
Yeah, it would take too long. But you could do this with like a $100 radio controlled car from Walmart off the shelf, and like a $50 webcam off the shelf.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. And I'm sure that governments pay. They don't say that. Of course, they don't say the price on here. And can I buy one of these, or is this for governments only? I don't know, man. I don't know.
Let's see. Custom quote.
You have to ask for a quote. You can't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course not.
Yeah. I don't know. In one of the pictures, it's like a security guard. I guess if you owned a mall or something, you could probably buy one. Yeah.
Yeah. If you had a you couldn't order one because you have a Middle Eastern last name.
Oh, right. Well, because, my name is of Iranian origin, so that would violate sanctions, right?
Yeah.
Same reason I can't buy an iPhone. All right,
brother.
Thank you, fiends. Thank you, Michael.
Worms.
Peace.
Thank you for your cervix. So next time your wife's holding the baby, you should go and say, thank you for your cervix.
I think I might have already.
Okay.
I'll do it again, just to be safe.
Don't tell her. Don't tell her I said it. That'd be rude.
Hold on. Breaking news. The ferret is now FCC approved.
Oh, good.
We missed that
point. All right. Let's see if they'll buy ads on the fiends.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Peace.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Hello, Freedom Fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. Include endorphins. No one won't ask permission, and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Three times a week, Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati share their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarious money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to freedomfiends.com.